Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, once again. Sorry for the microphone squeak. Once again, 24's podcast, we're back. I didn't want to do what I did last night and essentially just play shot A for like 2 minutes without saying anything because I was so entranced with, I was about to say, Your Love is King. That's one of her songs. But it's really, Is It a Crime? I was just listening to that song for like 2 minutes and I was like, oh my God, this is just fantastic. I can't segue into my intro. But we're back, late night, new schedule, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. It'll probably go to Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays because the third podcast of the week will be the Music Matters podcast, and the Music Matters podcast will be, like, it'll be in line with like new releases. I didn't realize that when I made the new schedule, so now I realized it. I'll kind of let you know, but we'll have a podcast tomorrow because there's some music that I want to listen to. Anyways, tonight we're going to talk about offensive linemen. We're going to talk about how offensive linemen are essentially going to be one of the major movers and shakers in the draft. On top of, obviously, the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. Everybody knows about the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, but I don't think people understand just how good the offensive linemen are in the draft. And more specifically, I think they will in, like, the next 3-4 weeks. I think the pro... Well, not pro bowl, excuse me, but the pro days, they're starting to come online here. We'll start seeing more guys kind of... you know, have their pro days. I haven't watched any of the pro days, and nor before tonight and yesterday did I watch really any of the offensive linemen besides Joe Alt Jr. I think I got that wrong. It's Joe Alt who is a junior, and not that his last name, like his father is Joe Alt Sr. and he's junior. So I apologize if I constantly get that wrong. It's just like, it's been ingrained in my mind for months on end. Anyways. This draft will be headlined in about a month by the quarterbacks and wide receivers. Great draft for both. A deep draft in the first round for both, which is a little bit rare. And even, not just in the first round, but even, for example, for quarterbacks, it goes until, like, the second and third round. Like, there's the big names, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr. But then there's, for example, Bo Nix, there's Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina, and then you have the Florida State quarterback in Jordan Travis, and then you also have, like, the athletic needs a ton of work late round draft pick to potentially undrafted free agent, and Joe Milton from Tennessee, who used to be from Michigan. So it's a deep draft. It's a great draft for quarterbacks. Great draft for wide receivers, especially in the first round. I'm not going to get into it, but you know the big names. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. I don't know how to say his last name. Right, and then we can just go on and on and on and on and on. Like Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas, right now on the big board of Pro Football Network is ranked 33rd overall. So he's like late first rounder, early second rounder. And on and on and on, right? Tight ends, you got headlining the draft, Brock Bowers, and then the second guy, Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. Lot of weapons, really no running backs. Lot of weapons in this year's draft. You know the names, you know the pedigree, but for the last couple of weeks, and I haven't really seen a whole lot of people get on this, and I'll get on it here, right now, haven't really seen a lot of people talk about offensive line. It's kind of weird, right? Offensive line, one of the most important positions in the NFL, but essentially with just how the NFL works now, we're in a passing league. You have quarterbacks being the faces of organizations and quarterbacks really being the face of the league. Wide receivers kind of bringing up the rear a little bit. I mean, we literally have a dance that is infamous called the gritty that Justin Jefferson essentially is known for doing whenever he scores a touchdown. You know, it's significantly better than the dab, Especially, it's so much better than the dab. Remember when Cam Newton was dabbing on people in 2015? It's so much better than the dab because, unlike the dab, it takes a little bit of footwork, a little bit of rhythm. It's like if you try and gritty, you know, on somebody and you don't have the proper rhythm and footwork, you'll look like Mike Gesicki and Mac Jones with the Patriots. Both of them, I think, are now gone. You'll look ridiculous, essentially. Anyways. Wide receivers, quarterbacks, faces of the league, faces of organizations, really important players. We all know that. But what we don't really, what we kind of like look over at times, depending on the drafts and depending on positions and all that good stuff, offensive line. And I was looking and I was previewing before I kind of went into my evaluations this year. I went into watching some of these guys. Or not even watching some of these guys, excuse me, that doesn't make any sense. But I went into kind of like certain people's big boards, certain people's rankings of individual players, regardless of position. And I started to see like all of these offensive linemen. Right now I'm on Pro Football Network. I got 7 tackles that are first round draft picks. One guard, and then one center. We'll talk about him in a center. Jesus Christ. In a second. So that's like 9 offensive linemen that are first-round draft picks. That's like almost a third of the first round. Just offensive linemen, right? Haven't gotten into pass rushers. Haven't gotten into cornerbacks. Haven't gotten into defensive tackles. Just, I mean, we've talked about wide receivers and quarterbacks, right? There's like 4 or 5 quarterbacks that are probably going to be taken in the first round. 4 or 5 wide receivers that are probably going to be taken in the first round. That's a third of the draft class. The other third is offensive linemen. See how that works? Just see how, like, between 2 positions, right? Or 3. Offensive line, wide receiver. Offensive line, wide receiver, quarterback. 2/3 of the draft in first round. I think it's imperative that we talk about it. Because, as I said yesterday, I think offensive line, specifically tackle, will have a huge, huge sway on how the draft works and how the draft goes. Because a lot of teams, right, a lot of teams are going to need quarterbacks. Like Tennessee, they're going to roll the dice with Will Levis, and then they'll probably have buyer's remorse. By the way, like what Tennessee's organization is doing, because they just signed Calvin Ridley, who I felt like the Jacksonville Jaguars should have signed this year. I felt like they should have signed him to a long-term deal. He had a really, really nice season last season. He had like 1,000 yards and what was it, like 6 touchdowns, right? Let me just Google Calvin Ridley's numbers here. Hold on. Calvin Ridley last year had 1,000 yards. Oh my God. I mean, I'm underselling it. He had 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. He had a really good season. Great season, actually. For a guy that was suspended for a year, came off of suspension, came out 1,000, 8 touchdowns. Really didn't have the season that I thought he was. I thought he was going to have like a 1,300-yard season or a 1,200-yard season. But you'll take the 8 touchdowns plus 1,000 yards any day of the week. Jacksonville has no wide receivers, and Tennessee absolutely stole them from a divisional opponent. Jacksonville's done. Jacksonville's over with. Congratulations to the Houston Texans. You've won again. By the way, Houston goes off of Jonathan Greenard, they upgrade, and they get Danielle Hunter. A lot of free agency stuff. Let me go back to the draft here. All right? So you have all these teams. Top 10, right? Bears, Washington, Patriots. They all need quarterbacks. Cardinals, Chargers, Giants. Giants would probably like a quarterback. They're not going to take one because Daniel Jones' cap hit this year is $47 million. They're not moving on from Daniel Jones anytime soon. They're going to kick the can down the curb. They're going to try and see if there is anything redeemable with Daniel Jones before they move on from Daniel Jones, because they're like, well, we can't just, you know, we can't just move on from him 1 year into his new deal. Ironically enough, ask the Broncos. It's like, hey, can you move on from a quarterback 1 year into his new deal? Technically speaking, Russell Wilson didn't even, his new contract starts next year. I'm getting off topic. Getting off topic. Way off topic. But a lot of teams in this year's draft need a quarterback, probably want a wide receiver, or need a wide receiver as well, and an underlying kind of like, you know, an underlying kind of like trend here, a need, is offensive line. Like, it really is. It really is. I'll start off with the big boy from Notre Dame, Joe Alt. I was about to say junior. His name sounds better with the junior in front of it, Joe Alt Jr., but it's just Joe Alt, Notre Dame. And I'll also talk about the Penn State guy. I have no idea how to spell his, not spell, I know how to spell it. I have his name in front of me. I don't know how to pronounce it. I watched all of these games without the sound on. So I have, what's his name? I don't know what his name is. But it's Olumuyiwa? I don't know how to say it. And then I can't even say his last name. It's Fashanu. I don't know how to say it. Okay, it's, I don't know how to say it, okay? I don't know how to say it. I'll just refer to him as the Penn State tackle because I don't know how to say his first or his last name. And I don't know how to say the Oregon State's first and last name. Is it Talese? Talese? Fuaga? I don't know how to say his first or last name either. The Washington tackle as well. Troy. I can't say any of these motherfuckers' names, okay? I can't pronounce any of these guys. Guys' names. It's impossible. But Joe Alt Jr. There it is. Again, his name sounds better. Joe Alt Jr. With the junior. Joe Alt and the Penn State tackle. Two of the top guys in the draft. And let me tell you something, especially about the Penn State tackle. I was watching him today. I went into this draft. I went into this cycle being like, Joe Alt is probably the best tackle in this year's draft. The Penn State tackle made a case that he is as good, if not better. It's kind of ridiculous that, like, I'm unsure. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know which one is better. And it's kind of ridiculous that you have not one, but two top-tier tackles in this year's draft that are kind of, like, interchangeable. I prefer, at this point, the Penn State tackle because I feel like he's just more athletic. He's freaking ginormous. I mean, just huge, 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 huge human being and a tackle. He has the perfect frame that you would want from a tackle, right? He's big, he has long arms, he's uberly athletic, and he is mega, mega, mega strong. I watched the Michigan game, as probably everybody should. The Michigan game was like watching Evan Neal, the Alabama tackle, play college football. And granted, Evan Neal has kind of turned into a horrifying, horrifying professional football player. But like when he was a college football player, I was like, oh my God, this guy is like one of the best tackles I've ever seen in my entire life. And then he becomes a professional football player and he completely forgets how to block. I have no explanation for why Evan Neal forgot how to block when he went from college to the pros. But yes, he forgot how to block and how essentially to play football. I have no idea what is in the Giants' water in New York. I hear that the water apparently in New York is really good. Like you can just drink it out of the tap or something like that. Because they purify the water or it's good. They make sure there's no gunk in the water. I don't know what's going on in New York, but apparently it sucks. Whatever's going on, because Evan Neal sucks. I mean, it's not just because he's going up against Micah Parsons and Hassan Reddick and all those boys. It's like, I don't get how he goes from being one of the greatest tackles I've ever seen in college football to being like literally a dude that just cannot play the sport anymore. But the same, hopefully, is not said about the Penn State tackle who just looks absolutely dominant. I mean, he is a massive, massive human being paired with great strength and great athleticism as well. He's like a top five pick. So on Pro Football Network's big board, I mean, they have him as the fifth overall pick. But here's how their board is lining up. This isn't my big board. This is their big board. How their big board is lining up is Caleb Williams, 1, Drake May, 2, Marvin Harrison Jr., 3, Joe Alt, 4, and then the Penn State tackle at 5. He's 5. Top 5 teams drafting this year. You have the Bears, Washington, Commanders. You have the New England Patriots, you have the Arizona Cardinals, and the Los Angeles Chargers. 5 really interesting teams, right? I think Joe Alt and the Penn State tackle are probably going to go probably to the Cardinals or to the Chargers. I think so. Like, one of them has got to go to the... I mean, maybe not. Like, here's how I see those two teams in that situation with Joe Alt and the Penn State tackle. How I see it playing out is that it's kind of like the Cardinals could be like, we have Hollywood Brown, or actually, I don't know. Do they have Hollywood Brown? Because I saw his name trending on Twitter. Give me, like, 2 seconds. Like, 2 seconds really fast. Let me just... make sure nothing weird is going on. What's going on? I don't know. It looks like there's things that are potentially... there's things that are like potentially going on that kind of suggest that Hollywood Brown is going to move on from Arizona, or Arizona is going to move on from Hollywood Brown, and Hollywood Brown is going to become a Kansas City Chief. That's kind of why his name is like trending on Twitter, or it was trending on Twitter, like, I don't know, like all day today or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We'll see. Hold on. Okay, sorry about that. I was just looking at some stuff that is that's trending right now on Twitter. Or not even trending on Twitter, but I was looking at someone's timeline. Going back to Joe Alt Jr. and the Penn State tackle and draft situations, right? So you got the Bears 1. I think they're going to take Caleb Williams. I think that's the vibe that everybody has on it. And then you have 4 or 5, Cardinals, Chargers. I think the Giants take a wide receiver. Whoever is available, right? Like, whoever's available is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome, Odunze, Dunze. I don't know how to say his last name, right? There's 3 wide receivers. Giants are going to take one of them. Tennessee, they just drafted... who did they draft last year in the first round? I forgot. They drafted a tackle that I really liked out of Washington. Hold on, let me Google his name really fast. Titans first round pick 2023. Peter Skoronski. Or he was out of Northwestern, excuse me. He was out of Northwestern. So they drafted Peter Skoronski last year in the first. They just signed Calvin Ridley to a contract. And what they'll probably do in the draft is they'll probably take maybe another offensive lineman, or they'll take potentially the tight end Brock Bowers with the 7th overall pick. So Titans, we'll see what happens there, right? Atlanta at 8, they just got Kirk Cousins. They don't need a quarterback. They have all the weapons. They have a tight end. They have a wide receiver. They have, I think they have 2 wide receivers, right? They have a wide receiver and Kyle Pitts, and they have Bijan Robinson. They're going to essentially say to themselves, we want to draft an offensive lineman. So the tackles that I just mentioned, Joe Alt and the Penn State tackle, could go anywhere between like 4 to 8. I think the Falcons would be a little bit foolish to be like, we need another wide receiver instead of getting like one of the best tackles in the draft. And I think he certainly does not get past 9 from the Bears, because the Bears also, they want another offensive lineman as well. The Jets, they could be inclined to take another offensive lineman as well at that pick. But the top 2 picks at offensive line, Joe Alt and the Penn State tackle, those are the 2 guys that are going top 10 very easily, very easily. And depending on the coverage of the draft, it may or may not, people may or may not be surprised by those 2 picks. People may be like, huh, I can't believe that my team took an offensive lineman instead of this wide receiver and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, well, you haven't been paying attention. You haven't been paying attention. You haven't. You haven't. But it will be interesting. The 2 players, Joe Alt, Penn State tackle, those 2 players will be very, very, very interesting. Because I think those are very powerful pieces on the board when it comes to the draft. And depending on who one of those pieces go to, I think they can make those teams significantly better. I don't know if, for example, Joe Alt or the Penn State tackle going to the Chargers makes them like infinitely better. But like the Titans, I don't know what's in the water with the Titans, but they just keep on making like great, subtle moves, better than Washington. Washington also had another great move that I've wanted the Cowboys to make for years, and that was get Bobby Wagner. They got him today for $8 million on the low, on the cheap, dirt cheap. They got him, stole him. Easy money. Easy money. So now the Chargers, they have somebody that can really structure their defense, lead their defense, help out in the running game, et cetera, et cetera, and in the passing game, and just get a shit ton of tackles and help out Jamin Davis, who's like the struggling linebacker for Washington. Regardless, those 2 tackles are 2 huge chess pieces, not because of the literal implications, but also like the connotative. Not the connotative, Jesus Christ, I'm tired for some weird reason, but also like the contextual like reasonings behind them as well. 2 huge chess pieces for the draft. It's going to be super interesting to see where both of them go, because I think they're 2 of the most powerful pieces on the board, because it also extends the fact that is some teams will draft them needing a quarterback, and then they'll let some of these other quarterbacks slide, and then you have teams, for example, like the Raiders and the Saints that probably want another quarterback or maybe looking at another quarterback. And then you're like, well, oh, these teams earlier, they went out and they got a tackle, and now we're a little bit more in play for some of these other players. And I haven't even started talking about the defensive side of the football, which seems to be, I don't want to say undervalued, but it's definitely like it's the defensive side of the football definitely to me isn't as great or as deep as the offensive side of the football, to be honest with you, especially with just how many different positions. Like, I'm just looking at the big board for Pro Football Network, and it's just like edge and corners. Like, not a lot of linebackers. There's like 1 defensive tackle out of Illinois, and Johnny Newton, that they're like, yep, this is the guy that's going to go in the first round. Maybe he's the only defensive tackle that goes in the first. Regardless, it seems like it's offense all day. All day. Remember how I was talking about those 2/3 of the draft being between wide receiver, offensive, and offensive line and quarterback? The other third is just defense. It's not like, oh, it's filled with edge rushers. No, it's just defense. It's the defense. That's it. Maybe not even third, but like, yeah, no, I would say third. It's just defense. Just defense. Anyways, Joe Alt, Penn State tackle, top 10, probably not top 5. I don't see the Cardinals and the Chargers taking one of them. Especially, I don't see, you know what? I don't see the Cardinals, specifically and especially, taking one of the tackles. And the reason why I don't see either one of them taking one of the tackles is that they've been trying to get a top-tier wide receiver, a number one guy, for the better part of 3-4 years. They had him in DeAndre Hopkins, and then they moved on from him for some weird reason. I don't know why. DeAndre, I mean, I guess it was because DeAndre Hopkins was super mega expensive. But DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, I guess it's like the last 2 years, he didn't have 1,000 yards with the Cardinals. His first season, he had 1,400. 2021, his stats are bonkers. 572 yards, and then he gets 8 touchdowns. That doesn't make any sense. How does that happen? Last year with the Titans with, just scrubs, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, right? Like, he's had production even with God knows who at quarterback. Future Hall of Famer, of course. He will. But the Cardinals, to me, they're juiced up. They're excited about getting Marvin Harrison Jr. and pairing him with Kyler for the better part of a decade plus, and or depending on if they move on from Kyler Murray, pairing Marvin Harrison Jr. with whoever comes in and steps up for Kyler. There's like a little bit of rumors, and there kind of have been rumors that Arizona would love to move off of Kyler, but I don't know. We'll see what happens long term. Anyways, Cardinals, I think, are taking Marvin Harrison Jr. The next and obvious wide receiver is Malik Nabers. I don't know or think that the Chargers will take Malik Nabers, because what they're probably saying and doing is they're probably like, we like Keenan Allen and we want to give Quentin Johnston another shot. I like Keenan Allen. I think Keenan Allen is great. Apparently there were some rumors that Keenan Allen was going to like be released today, and I was like, please don't let that be a thing, because Keenan Allen is actually like one of their best players. But they have to get under the cap somehow, and the Chargers, they got a lot of people. Let me check what their numbers are today. Give me like 1 second. They moved off of Eric Kendricks, who the Cowboys signed. They moved off of Mike Williams today, so they may be under the cap. Let me just check out the Chargers really, really fast. Give me like 2 seconds. Chargers are still $7 million over the cap. So they have like no room to play in. They have nothing right now. They are still like drastically in the red, but they're not so redonkulously in the red that they can't make it up with like another cut. It's just like, who are we going to cut? Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack? Probably Joey Bosa. Or, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. But DeAndre Hopkins, cap casualty of the Cardinals. They need another number one. Chargers, do they for the third year in a row do they take another wide receiver in second year in a row? I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think so. I think they probably take a tackle. It's like, or they take Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers at 5 is a really interesting, like, position for the Chargers to be in. Like, 5 for Brock Bowers after Marvin Harrison Jr. What else is there? Giants at 6. They just invested a shit ton of money in Andrew Thomas. I think that was a mistake. And then they also drafted Evan Neal, which looks to be a mistake. Titans, we already talked about. Falcons with Kirk Cousins, super interesting pickup as well, because it's like you have all your weapons. I feel like I'm rehashing. I kind of am. Bears, Caleb Williams. I feel like the Bears, right? They have Tevin Jenkins. They have, I forgot who they drafted from Tennessee, who I liked, the Tennessee right tackle. But they have certain tackles. They have some tackles. They may try and add on another wide receiver. You can probably try Bears at 9. But I think it's like this draft with the tackles is just so interesting because there's so much talent at the top end of the first round draft. Jesus Christ, first round draft. Of the first round. And then there's more talent in the middle of the first round and then late into the first round, right? And then there's certain picks that you can kind of that you can swap around and move around. Give me like 2 seconds to go through my notes here. I remember I think it may have been the Alabama tackle and JC Latham, who I was like, he may or may not be a tackle in the NFL, but he may be a guard. I think it may have been JC Latham here. Let me just kind of like get my notes ready. The players that I saw, by the by, just in case if you were curious, were And I talked about it, I think, on Tuesday, where I was like, I'll watch five players. I'll watch five guys. I'll talk about five guys. I'll give you some rankings, things of that nature. But it was like, yeah, it was J.C. Latham, who I thought would be like a really, really nice guard as well. Maybe not a tackle. But the five guys that I watched were Joe Alt, the Penn State tackle, a little bit of the Oregon State tackle as well. J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, the Georgia tackle as well. A little bit of Tyler Guyton and Troy Fatanu, the Washington tackle as well. And then the center from Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson. So I think that's like six guys, I think. A little bit, more or less, give or take. A little bit. Top of the draft, Joe Alt, Penn State tackle. Midway through the draft is like Amarius Mims out of Georgia, who's also awesome. And I haven't really picked up on the Oregon State guy. But I really like Amarius Mims. He's probably a middle of the pack round type of guy. So the Broncos at 12, interesting pickup. They'll probably take a tackle, maybe not a wide receiver. We'll see what happens with the Broncos. I don't know. The Broncos are like a bag of cats. I don't know what I'm going to get with the Broncos. I don't know what their plan is. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. But I don't, like, I'm not going to be, like, overly excited or disappointed if I'm right or wrong about the Broncos. Same thing goes with Minnesota, you know? Same thing goes with Minnesota. Just, I don't know what I'm getting either way. I don't know if I'm getting a tackle. I don't know if I'm getting a receiver. I don't know if I'm getting a quarterback. I don't know if I'm getting a defensive player. Minnesota has just given up all their best players. They are super hard to read, super hard to predict. But you have, right, about two or three picks, middle of the first, maybe four or five, depending on kind of how it shakes and bakes up, of just offensive linemen that could just go there to certain teams like Indianapolis, for example. That's an interesting pickup. Broncos as well. Minnesota, potentially. Jacksonville. I know Jacksonville has spent some money. Maybe not Jacksonville. But you want to know what team that's like a middle of the pack, mid-round team that could be a mover and a shaker in the first round of the draft, especially and specifically when it comes to offensive line? The Cincinnati Bengals at number 18 overall. Super interesting premise, right? So you have potentially, I feel like, in my opinion, if Amarius Mims, if there starts to be rumors about Amarius Mims going earlier on past or before, 18, I think the Bengals should probably move up. I think the Bengals, regardless, should probably try and trade up, get somewhere close to the top 10. I feel like he's that good of a tackle, and he's especially that valuable for Joe Burrow and the Bengals, because Lord knows that the Cincinnati Bengals cannot pass protect to save their freaking lives. Joe Burrow is like the most sacked quarterback in the NFL, and he's probably one of, if not the most valuable quarterbacks in the draft. Don't talk to me about how he's a system quarterback. I know one year, Joe Burrow and the Bengals go to the Super Bowl, go to the AFC Championship game. The next year, when he's out, the 2 years that he's out, guess freaking what? Bengals don't even qualify for the freaking playoffs. It's the Browns. Didn't the Browns go to the playoffs? I can't remember. I think they did, but I don't even remember who they played because I think everybody knew they were first-round elimination. I mean, at least I did. At least I was like, congratulations to the Browns, but they're first-round elimination. Bengals at 18. Intriguing pickup. Intriguing player, important player for, or important pick, for the Bengals. Because you've lost Joe Mixon. T. Higgins, I said it before, I'll say it again. Last season, T. Higgins wants out. Or not wants out, but he wants a max deal. And last season, I was like, or technically speaking, it was last offseason, I was like, do yourself a favor. Go out and trade T. Higgins because you can't pay T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. The Bengals, they don't do that. The Bengals are like, we're going to take a swing at Patrick Mahomes. We're going to take a swing. We're going to wind up. We're going to cock back. We're going to take a swing. They couldn't protect him. He gets hurt again. He's out for the season. In fact, he gets hurt in training camp. Remember? He like, I forgot what he did, but he like, didn't he like tweak his hamstring? He rolled out to his right. It looked like an Achilles injury. It looked like the way that he went down and the way, like, it looked really bad. It looked like he was going to be out for the year in training camp. Couple of weeks to months later, he's out for the regular season. I even said, like, apparently the hamstring strain would take like a month for him to recover from. And all I said for like that month, because I kept on hearing rumors over and over and over again that the Cincinnati Bengals were trying to rush him back from injury. And I was like, why are you trying to rush him back from injury? Why are you trying to be so like aggressive and try to essentially like play him before he's ready to go? The doctors, most doctors said like it'll take a month for him to recover. They're like, we're going to rush him out. And I was like, just take the month off. Tell him to take a break. And I remember the schedule being like this brutal schedule. And I was like, why are you trying to put Joe fresh off a tweaked hamstring out back onto the football field? Just rest him. They didn't. He gets hurt later on in the season. It's a problem that the Bengals have had since drafting Joe Burrow, before they got Joe Burrow, and then consequently after they got Joe Burrow as well. It's been a consistent issue for the Cincinnati Bengals. How can we protect Joe Burrow? I think they address that question, that need of an offensive lineman, especially and specifically a tackle, in the first round of the draft, at least in my opinion. They lost Joe Mixon. T. Higgins is disgruntled. He's asked for a trade because they franchise tagged him again because they didn't trade him last season. Joe Burrow gets hurt. They take a final swing at the Chiefs. I thought this would be their best chance of taking down the Chiefs again and going to the Super Bowl for the second time in like 2 years. And Joe Burrow essentially gets hurt. Multiple players get hurt. They can't really compete. I think this would be a great time, a great opportunity for them to go out and get a tackle here, right? Same thing goes for the Rams, who finally have a first-round draft pick once again. Because Stafford, at times, wasn't very well protected. They probably want to get a tackle. It's kind of the rich getting richer. The Steelers at 20, right? They don't have a great offensive line. Could you see them going out and getting an offensive lineman at 20? Texans at 23. Dallas at 24. Green Bay at 25, like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We go down, like, the bottom 10 teams. Maybe you can make an argument, for example, for the Detroit Lions being like, maybe they don't need an offensive lineman. But the interesting thing is, the last, like, 15 teams, you can make a really interesting argument for them going out and getting an offensive tackle. But there's a little bit more of an issue and of a situation, right? It's all these top-tier teams. And by the way, right, like the issue, excuse me, let me go back. The issue is, it's like, well, are there enough players to go out and get, or excuse me, is there enough players at the end of the draft for these teams that'll be drafting at the end of the draft? And the answer is like a cataclysmic yes. Again, right? You have, I haven't watched the Oregon State tackle, but Pro Football Network has him at 13th overall. We talked about J.C. Latham. I think he's probably right where he is right now. A mid to late first round draft pick, tackle out of Alabama, could potentially be a guard in the NFL. Amarius Mims, I think, is a little bit in front of J.C. Latham because I think he's a better athlete than J.C. Latham. I think he can be a better tackle long term in the NFL. The tackle out of Washington, 21st overall. Tyler Guyton, the Oklahoma tackle, 28th overall. Right? I mean, these are late round draft picks for some of the best teams in the NFL. They're just waiting. These could potentially be good tackles. Maybe not great tackles. Maybe not Hall of Famers. Actually, it's hard to predict. But it's like, maybe not good tackles. Maybe not great tackles. But hey, you never know with this type of stuff. You never know. huge draft for tackles. Huge draft. I'll go ahead and say it. Dallas at 24. And I didn't mean for this to happen in the year of 2024 with the podcast known as 24's Podcast. I didn't mean for this to happen. I don't know if that's a good omen or a bad omen. I don't know. But Dallas drafting at 24 is a super, super interesting proposition. Super interesting. So Dallas this offseason, they move on from their fourth-year tackle. They could have extended him. Tyler Biadasz, he had a lot of hope. He had a lot of expectations be put on him. I never really liked him that much. I kind of knew that he was probably just like a placeholder center. He was all right. He's not great, you know. And Tyler Biadasz, he goes and he signs with Washington, who seems to be making a lot of great moves, very covertly, very quietly. We're going to go out and get Tyler Biadasz, average good center. He'll stabilize that position. They go out and they get Dorrance Armstrong, good player. Good player. Excuse me, from the Cowboys. We'll get Bobby Wagner, who's coming off of like a career high. I think he had 180-something tackles. I don't understand why teams are moving on from Bobby Wagner. Yeah, he had 183 tackles. That's his career high. I don't get it. I don't get it. Warrior probably started in almost every single game. Yep, he played in every single game. I don't freaking get it. Hasn't really missed a lot of time, and he makes a lot of tackles, and he makes a lot of plays, and I don't get it. I mean, his tackles, you want to know what? You want to know the surprising thing? At 33, he probably had his greatest season ever. Right? Tackles for a loss, second most in his career. Total tackles, most in his career. His solo tackles, one less than most of his career. His most total tackles was in 2017, and he had 97. Last season, he had 96 solo tackles. The year that he had 97 solo tackles, his most of his career, he had 133 total tackles. Last year, he had 183 total tackles. It's like, I don't get it. I don't get, like, last year and the year before when he was with the Rams for like a hot minute, I didn't understand why he was with the Rams. I didn't understand why Seattle was like, we'll pass. I didn't get it. But Bobby Wagner, Washington got him, among others. I keep talking about Washington because I've been really impressed by their decisions and their direction that they've been going towards. But Dallas has had a disaster of an offseason. Terrible. A joke. It's been a joke. But the interesting thing, but I agreed. I was like, Tyler Biadasz doesn't move the needle. You know, he's not a great player. He's never been a great player, in my opinion. I mean, there's times where he'll have bad snaps and Dak has to recover. Even now, like last season, I was like, sometimes Tyler, for some weird reason, had problems snapping the football. And I was like, what is going on here? But he has the potential to be a good player and have a good career in the NFL. Hell, he already has. He's making like $30 million over the course of 3 years, $10 million annually. It's like, I'm not going to be a millionaire. I'm not going to be making $10 million annually. It's like, hey, congratulations to him. He's making buku amounts of money for all of his hard work. But I don't think he's a great player. His life is great. I don't think he's a great player. Anyways, when they moved off of Tyler Biadasz, I was like, I was all right. I was fine with that. When the Cowboys 2 years ago drafted their all-pro guard / tackle in Tyler Smith, I lost my damn mind. Lost my damn mind because I had heard throughout the entirety of the month that the Cowboys were super interested in Tyler Smith, and I was not because I was like, this guy is not very good. He's like a second-round draft pick. I was like, please do not draft him in the first round. And I was hot on the heels of the best center in college football at the time in Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa. I was juiced up on Tyler Linderbaum. I have never watched as much Iowa football as I did because a center and Tyler Linderbaum. I saw so much of Landon Dickerson, the Eagles all-pro guard in Tyler Linderbaum. I was like, this guy is just a massive human being who also plays center, which isn't really a theme for the position, but I was like, it would be fantastic if he goes to the Dallas Cowboys. I was scouting the shit out of him because I was like, this guy's going to be a Cowboy. Dallas is going to draft him. Dallas does not draft Tyler Linderbaum. And the worst thing is Tyler Linderbaum has the same first name as obviously Tyler Smith, right? And so Roger Goodell says Tyler, and I lose my mind because I'm like, they're doing it. They're going to move off of Tyler Biotish because at that point, Tyler Biotish was nowhere near a good center. I think he made a Pro Bowl, but that's because he's a Cowboy. But I was like, Tyler Biotish is finally going to be replaced by a great center in Tyler Linderbaum. Wrong. No, it was Tyler Smith going to the Cowboys. And boy, howdy, was I wrong on that? Was I wrong on Tyler Smith? A lot of Tylers. Tyler Linderbaum, Tyler Smith, Tyler Biotis. You got to keep up. I'll try to keep up as well. But I lost my mind because the Cowboys drafted Tyler Smith, and boy, howdy, was I wrong, because he's an all-pro, he can play multiple positions, and he's great at both of them. He's great at tackle, and he's great at guard. Tyler Linderbaum. I think he struggled a little bit. I think he... Did he make the Pro Bowl last year? Maybe it's because people don't know about him. He went to Baltimore. Didn't he make a Pro Bowl? I would expect him to make a Pro Bowl. He should be. Yeah, he made All-Pro his rookie season, and then he made a Pro Bowl last year. So, I mean, yeah, he's a good center. He's a good center. Regardless, I was losing my mind because I thought Dallas would get him, and then they didn't. Tyler Linderbaum, and then they didn't get Tyler Linderbaum, and then I was like, they got the guy that I thought they shouldn't get, and they... I was distraught a couple of years ago. But I think Dallas potentially has a plan. I'm not really that big of a fan of some of the guys that they have at the back end of the draft. They'll probably move Tyler Smith to tackle, and then they'll have somebody else play guard, and that's fine. Because I think Tyler Smith in his rookie season did a great job playing guard. Or excuse me, tackle. Here's the thing. I think Dallas can and probably should tackle, and probably, I mean, we'll see what happens. Dallas always does weird stuff in the draft. I mean, last year, I just threw up my hands with Mozzie Smith. I was like, all right, fine, take Mozzie Smith. Turns out Mozzie Smith wasn't a fucking great pick. I don't know why Dallas has so many issues drafting guys from Michigan, but they do. And Mozzie Smith was a guy that they drafted from Michigan, like Taco Charlton, like 6 years ago, instead of TJ Watt. They should have drafted Nolan Smith. I lost my mind. I was freaking pissed off. Maybe not pissed off, but I just threw up my hands in resignation. And I'm like, Dallas is going to do whatever they're going to do in the draft because they always kill it in the draft. Last year, not so much. Not so much. They drafted Luke Schoonmaker as well when they also had a Pro Bowl tight end and Jake Ferguson as well. Awesome tight end. Whoops-a-daisies on that one as well. But Jackson Powers Johnson, long ass first and last name, super interesting player, super interesting player. Best center in the draft by far and away, best center in the draft. Right now, he's scheduled to be picked up, not scheduled to be picked up, excuse me, he is the 22nd overall pick in the draft. That would fall to the Philadelphia Eagles. Wouldn't it be interesting if the Philadelphia Eagles get Jackson Powers Johnson, the future center for the Dallas Cowboys, instead of the Dallas Cowboys? Take him away like they took away Dallas Goedert like 6 years ago. It would be freaking fantastic for the Eagles. Not to say that there's other teams that wouldn't be able to pick him up, but Jackson Powers Johnson, great center, perfect for Dallas. Perfect for Dallas. I said the exact same thing about... I didn't say the exact same thing about Tyler Linderbaum. I thought Tyler Linderbaum, I think, was like a top 10, top 15 pick or something like that because of just how great of a center he was in college. Kind of learned my lesson there. Probably wouldn't and shouldn't take a center in the top 10, top 15. But Jaxon Powers-Johnson, easily a first-round draft pick, easily probably in the top 10. Not top 10, excuse me, easily going in the top 30 picks. I'm looking at the board, like, maybe Tampa Bay takes a swing on him. Maybe the Eagles do as well, depending on how they feel about Cam Jurgens, the former center turned guard. I feel like the reason why the Eagles got both Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens is so that way one of them can play freaking center. But we'll see. But Jaxon Powers-Johnson going to the Cowboys is a very, very interesting pickup. Now I'm going to look at some mock drafts here. And I'll kind of see what's going on, what some people have to say about the draft here. Not really. I'm looking at the mock draft. I mean, God damn it, the Lakers, they can't shut down anything right now against Sacramento. They can't stop the freaking Kings from just pulling up from deep from three. The Lakers are probably going to lose this game. LeBron is trying his best. But there's nothing that you can do. You can't stop the fucking bleeding when literally on every single offensive opportunity, the Sacramento Kings hit a tray and you on the opposite end hit a deuce. Like, there's just no freaking way that you're going to win this game. Anyways, I'm just kind of like looking at the, I'm going to kind of like take a note of where some of the tackles are. So, but I'll say all the picks. Like, the first three picks, really not a surprise. The Bears at one get Caleb Williams, Washington, and this is a CBS mock draft from Chris Trapasso. This is like 5 hours ago, too. But Caleb Williams goes one, Jaden Daniels goes two, Drake May goes three, Marvin Harrison goes four. Full stop. Full stop, right? Remember how I said it's like the first three teams probably going to get a quarterback. Arizona probably going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. for Kyler. Fifth pick, right? Talked about how the Chargers probably are going to lean more towards tackle. Remember how I said that? Whoops-a-daisies, they took a tackle, but neither. It wasn't Joel. It wasn't Joel or the Penn State tackle. I don't know what they're smoking down there at CBS, but apparently it's something strong that alters their brain chemistry because it's wrong. They take they take the Oregon State tackle. There's no way he's better than Joel or the Penn State tackle. No way, shape, or form. No way. Giants, they take J.J. McCarthy. I'm not a big J.J. McCarthy guy, but I think that's not a great decision by them. But sure, fine, whatever. I think that's a mistake. And I'll say it. If the Giants, they take somebody not named Caleb Williams or Michael Penix Jr. or Drake May, I think it's a mistake. But we'll see what happens. Titans, they take Malik Nabers. I guess that's fine. I guess it's fine. It's like they have Calvin Ridley. They have DeAndre Hopkins. This article may have been written before Calvin Ridley got signed, but it's just like, eh. And then they also have Treylon Burton. I feel like that's a mistake if they take Malik Nabers. I think you kind of kick the can down the curb with Treylon Burks. One more year, and you roll with Treylon Burks, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and you probably have the best wide receiving core in your division. So, yeah, it's better than Houston. Well, I got to see more from Houston, but it's probably better. Falcons take at 8, Dallas Turner. I think that's a bit of a mistake. Kirk Cousins is a pocket passer. If you can help him out in any way, shape, or form, help him get more support from the pocket or from his offensive line. I think Bijan probably needs also somebody to help run block for him better because Bijan Robinson, as juiced up as people are about Bijan, Bijan Robinson, didn't he not have a 1,000-yard season? Yeah, he had 976 yards. It was close, but he didn't get it. He also had 4 touchdowns, which is, for a guy that was selected with, like, I think the 8th overall pick to not have 1,000 yards in your rookie season and to only have 4 touchdowns, bit of a joke. Bit of a joke. Atlanta, I mean, they take Dallas Turner, but that's because Dallas Turner is, like, high on everybody's boards. The fact, by the way, the fact that this guy thinks that Joe Alt and the tackle, the Penn State tackle, are just not going to be selected in the top 10, to me, is like, I mean, draft night, if that happens, I'm losing my shit. Not losing my, I mean, losing my shit. Like, I'm a cat on catnip type of stuff. Like, I'm freaking out. I don't know what's going on. Dallas Turner, 8th overall to the Falcons. 9 overall, Rome Adunze to the Bears. I think that may be a mistake. I mean, they just lost Darnell Mooney, I think, to, like, maybe the Dolphins or somebody else. They didn't re-sign him. They lost Darnell Mooney. They don't really have a number two guy, so the Bears probably are thinking wide receiver, but I think, I don't know. Maybe you kick the can down the curb with Mike Williams. Maybe you take a swing on Mike Williams. What he does very well. He does better than Quentin Johnson, but I'm not paying him $30-something million to be a 50-50 ball guy. And I like DJ Moore a lot, but Rome Odunze at 9 and not Joe Alt or the Penn State tackle? Yuck. It's like, to me, you take the third or fourth wide receiver in the draft over the like two top five picks of the draft. I would literally say on draft night, if that happens, I'm like, that is such a Bears move. But yes, at 9 in this draft, the Bears, they take a wide receiver. Not very good. Jets at 10th, they take Joe Alt, which is a great pickup for them. It's like, finally, they get somebody that makes sense. They get Joe. That makes a lot of sense for them. I would be shocked if he's there at 9, at 10 overall, to be honest with you. But I would be more shocked if the Jets don't pick Joe Alt at 10. If I see that the Penn State tackle and Joe Alt are available past 10, I mean, I'm really going to lose my mind. Really. I'm going to be screaming that somebody needs to trade up for one of these two tackles. I'm just going to be insane. At 11th overall, the Jags, they take the corner out of Toledo, too. What? Who made this shit? Let me look at this guy. Who the fuck made this shit? Because I'm like, this shit is just weird. Chris Trapasso. I mean, he's taken Pro Football Network's big board. He's taken, I guess it's all right. He's taken the second corner on Pro Football Network's big board, but he's the 17th overall pick. He takes him at 11th. I'm like, what? Over the Penn State tackle? What the fuck are you smoking? What is it? What are you smoking? But they take him. The second cornerback, the 17th overall pick. Quinyon Mitchell. Mistake. Huge mistake. 12th overall, Broncos take Bo Nix. Reach. Bad pick, in my opinion. I think that's ridiculous to take Bo Nix at 12th overall. I mean, the Broncos, they've made so many bad decisions over the last couple of months that it's kind of like they've screwed themselves, essentially. But I think that's garbage. I think that's a freaking terrible pick. I'm going to be laughing my ass all the way to the bank if they take Bo Nix at 12th overall instead of Penn State tackle. Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Raiders at 13th overall. Wide receiver out of LSU. I shrug my shoulders. I'm like, it's not really a needle mover either. To me, at least. Again, the Raiders, they're not a very good team either. It's going to be interesting to see what Antonio Pierce and the Raiders do next season, though. They did sign Christian Wilkins, so they do have, you know, one of the big boys up front. They do have Devontae Adams. They don't have Josh Jacobs anymore. It'll be interesting to see how their offense functions, and it'll also be interesting to see what exactly their football team does, because they were an anomaly last season. I don't care about their win totals last year. I don't care how many games they won. When you fire your head coach that you hired in February, when you fire him in like October, November, it's kind of, the season is a wash, and I'll kind of check back in with you next season. Penn State tackle goes 14th overall. Joke. And even the guy kind of realizes that it's a joke, because he talks about how he slid from, I mean, first and foremost, he was the best tackle in his draft. His prospect ranking was 6th, but he goes 14th. How does that happen? I don't know. He goes to the Saints at 14th. Joke. Teron Arnold, cornerback from Alabama, he goes 15th to the Colts. That's fine. What did the Chargers get? Chargers, they got the tackle. The reason why I say that is that Brock Bowers goes to Seattle, which I think is disgusting. That's Seattle. At 16th, by the way. Brock Bowers goes to Seattle, 16th. And I'm like, so Seattle has one of the best wide receiving corps in the NFL. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith Najigba. And then they got the running back in Kenneth Walker. And they get the tight end at Brock Bowers. So they're pretty much loaded everywhere. It's just, man, oh man. Seattle goes from like being a once like, hey, we're going to have our defense be essentially the stars of the show. But now it's like, we're going to have offense just essentially be it. Be everything. It's just like, all right. Okay. Brian Murphy goes 17th overall. And what did I say about Cincinnati at 18th? I was like, Cincinnati's probably going to get a tackle. And they get J.C. Latham out of Alabama. I think he's a guard, not necessarily tackle, but regardless. Regardless. Troy Fatanu, the tackle out of Washington, he goes to the Rams at 19th. Again, kind of on trend to what I was saying again. Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson, he goes to Pittsburgh. I don't like the cornerbacks that much, but apparently that's correct as well. And then you have the guy that I was talking about earlier, Jaxon Powers-Johnson, the center out of Oregon, going to the Dolphins at 21 overall, which I think that's acceptable. I think that's fine. Jared Verse, the edge, going to Philadelphia. I'm trying to like look at more guys. Houston gets a corner. Dallas gets a wide receiver. What? What the fuck? This guy is fucking smoking meth. Jesus Christ. All right, get me out of this draft. I'm done with this draft. Amarius Mims falls to the fucking Ravens. What? Dude, I can't fucking stand this guy. Get me out. Get me the fuck out of here. Get me the fuck out of here. I'm now on like Daniel Jeremiah's draft, which he's one of the more popular analysts when it comes to draft. I'm kind of just like looking at it. It's like the progression is pretty much the same, except that the Patriots take Malik Nabers at 3. Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3, and then the Cardinals take Malik Nabers at 4. This is more in line kind of with the way that of thinking that I have. Chargers take Joe Alt at 5. Giants, weirdly enough, take a cornerback. Titans, thank you. This is more in line with what I'm thinking. This doesn't make any sense, by the way. When was this draft? Hold on. When did he make this? He made this February 20th of this year. So, it's a little bit outdated, but it's still kind of in line with kind of like the progression of the draft and probably what's going to happen, right? At least in my opinion, based upon like the first couple of picks. It's like Joe Alt goes to the Chargers. Giants, weirdly enough, take a quarterback. Does everybody really think that the Giants are just going to move on from Daniel Jones? And they're just going to, they've essentially just said, like, the subtle part out loud that they have buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones. Like, the fact that Rich Eisen gets the read, like, he's just like, yep, like, I just heard from somebody at the draft that the Giants have buyer's remorse. And I was like, this is when everybody lies. It's like, do you honestly think that somebody is just going to, like, to just choreograph what the Giants are going to do in the offseason so hard and so deliberate that they would just run to Rich Eisen and tell him, like, hey, this is what the Giants are going to do for the next 3 months in a era, in a time span where being, like, secretive and having, like, great sleight of hand is, like, imperative to your survival and things like that. Like, to me, it's just, like, this just doesn't seem correct that the Giants are just going to draft a quarterback. Either they're, like, super confident in their decision making, or they're just like, we're not going to choreograph anything and we're just going to do whatever we want. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Anyways, the Penn State tackle finally goes in the top 10. He goes to the Tennessee Titans for some weird reason. I mean, this is before Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, so Daniel Jeremiah has Atlanta drafting J.J. McCarthy. Bears, they take the wide receiver out of Washington. Apparently, everybody likes the tackle out of Oregon State. Again, I really haven't seen him that much, but he goes to New York. I think that's a bit of a reach, but all right. Minnesota gets Dallas Turner at 11th overall. That's fair. That's nice. Denver's a disaster, so it's hard to predict anything. Raiders, they go for a corner at 13th overall. Saints, they get another tackle slash guard in J.C. Latham. And trying to see. I'm just trying to see like how right I am. The Bengals, I thought the Bengals could go one way or another. In my opinion, I felt like the Bengals could go and get a tackle or a guard and help Joe Burrow out. I think that's probably what they should do. Or they could go this direction and get Brock Bowers at 18th, because it seems as if people just have other needs in their drafts, and they're like, well, we'll just take Brock Bowers, or we'll just let Brock Bowers slip and fall through the cracks because we have more pressing needs, and we believe that if we get X player, if we get certain players, we can improve our team substantially and significantly more. So Brock Bowers going 18th overall to the Cincinnati Bengals makes a lot of sense. The guy that I was talking about ad nauseum, Jackson Powers Johnson, inside offensive lineman, center, from Oregon, goes 19th to the Rams. Washington, the Washington tackle, Troy Fatanu, I don't know how to say his last name, goes to Pittsburgh. I think that may be it. Tyler Guyton, he goes to the Cowboys, tackle out of Oklahoma. I'm not going to be juiced up about that. I'm not going to lie to you on that. I'd rather take Xavier Worthy, which is what this guy, the stooge from CBS, said they should do. And then Amarius Mims. I don't know why Amarius Mims falls all the way to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm like, that's cap. That's ridiculous. But it looks like, for at least in my opinion, some of the stuff that I was talking about earlier kind of tracks, right? Like, huge players are going to fall, whether it's Brock Bowers, whether it's one of the top tackles, will probably fall outside of the top 10, or maybe not fall outside of the top 10, but will fall, like, in the top 10, or outside of the top 5, excuse me. He'll fall outside of the top 5. Brock Bowers will probably fall as well. You'll see some of the wide receivers like Xavier Worthy. He wasn't a first-round draft pick in this mock draft. And yeah, there is no first-round running back. That's another thing as well that's kind of tracking as well. A lot of interesting permutations in the draft right now. Some of the tackles are super, super, super important in this year's draft. We'll kind of see what goes on long-term. But again, I was talking about it earlier. I was like, offensive line is going to be super, super, super important in this year's draft, because it's going to determine kind of like where, how, when, and where, and why, excuse me, certain how and where and why certain teams will draft certain players, excuse me. Sorry about that. Anyways, I'm peacing out tomorrow. We'll listen to Ariana Grande's newest album, and I think Yelah Wolf's newest album as well, that came out over the last couple of weeks to months. I know Ariana Grande's just came out, and Ariana Grande's new album just came out last week, and that song, The Boy Is Mine, was fucking banging. So I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited to listen to it. Anyways, I'm peacing out. I'll see you tomorrow. Music matters, and then I'll probably update my schedule again for for the podcast, because I got it wrong. Anyways, I'll see you tomorrow. 24's podcast.